Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and boy, do I miss Denver Bible Church.
You've been going to other churches, Doug. You've got a special dispensation.
Yeah.
In fact, half the church has been going to other churches to get signatures.
Is
that
a church? Oh, to get signatures. There's no church split or anything like that. Nothing like that.
Not that I know of.
No, believe me,
I'm the pastor.
After 2 weeks of
I would be the last to know.
After 2 weeks of spending time at other churches, there's going to be a great drawing together of the Denver Bible Church family next Sunday.
Well, that'll be wonderful.
My daughter this morning said, Daddy, when are we going back to our church?
Yeah. Yeah, so many of our church members have been going to other churches.
Yeah.
Most of them invited.
Mostly.
Most of them invited.
Well, not all the time.
But praise the Lord, all the signatures that are coming in. Yeah. We have until Wednesday, and we'll tell more about that later. We should talk about the news some. But 2,000 signatures per team, 20,000 signatures. This is going to be exciting. It's going to come right down to the wire.
It's going to be a nail biter, folks.
But Doug, I came in, and you said, Bob, you know that book you're talking about, Jonathan Sarfati's The Greatest Hoax on Earth.
The Greatest Hoax on Earth,
and
yeah.
And that you want to interview Dr. Sarfati?
Yeah, he's the preeminent creationist author on the planet.
Yeah, the world's number one creation. So I said I want to interview this guy, and you told me I should mention it at the top of the show.
Absolutely.
So why?
Because it's interesting.
Oh, it's interesting?
Well, no, because of the incredible sequence of events that have occurred.
Well, I come in and I say that I want to interview Dr. Jonathan Sarfati because he's got a new book out, The Greatest Hoax on Earth, and he's going head-to-head with Richard Dawkins, his book, The Greatest Show on Earth,
right,
about evolution.
Right.
So Sarfati's book is apparently, I haven't read it yet, apparently rebutting Dawkins' book.
Yeah, that's incredible. Sounds great. And I'm thinking, Bob, if you mention it on the air, maybe we can figure out a way to get his people together with your people
down the road sometime. But it turns out that Jonathan Sarfati's agent has contacted us before we even had a chance to reach them and say, would you interview Dr. Sarfati? And Doug, let me tell you, some of the pro-life creationists around Denver have been in correspondence with Dr. Sarfati over the years.
Right.
And, you know, he'd say something good about John McCain, and he'd get this avalanche of evidence that John McCain is a pro-abortion.
Just as his name indicates, he's the son of Cain.
Son of Cain. And so anyway, Jonathan Sarfati now is openly pro-life with no exceptions.
All right.
He says, because the baby is a human being, a person, it is wrong to kill that baby. If his father's a criminal, it doesn't matter. And so they have asked us if we'd be willing to interview Dr. Sarfati, and I'm ecstatic about
that. Does that mean we get a copy of the book? We should get a copy of the book.
Did we ask for a copy of the book? We did ask.
We have solicited them for a copy of the book.
And it comes with a DVD. Comes with a DVD. So that'll be just great. And I've got some PhDs here who have commented on this book, The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Refuting Dawkins on Evolution. Like Dr. John Baumgartner, for years he was at Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Yeah.
Now he's at UCLA teaching geophysics. He says that Sarfati does a brilliant job exposing how shallow Dawkins is in his defense of evolution.
I can't wait to read it.
It's going to be good.
I can't wait to hear the interview.
The greatest hoax perpetrated in the guise of reason and science.
How soon can it happen? We don't know yet exactly how soon.
No, but hopefully within a month.
Now, Mr. Sarfati's busy. I understand he's been traveling this week, right?
Well, that's right. In fact, Dawkins was in Melbourne, Australia this weekend, and so was Jonathan Sarfati.
Yeah.
And Sarfati offered to debate Dawkins.
Was it on the radio? Is there a transcript?
No, Dawkins turned down the debate offer. There's a big atheist conference in Melbourne and an anti-atheist conference at the same time. in the same city in Australia.
Yeah.
And so Sarfati said, all right, we're both here. Why don't we debate?
We're the two top dogs in the fight. Let's talk.
Yeah, but Dawkins, not surprising, didn't want to debate. Uh-huh. After all, remember when Ben Stein interviewed him for the movie Expelled?
Oh, yeah.
And Dawkins said, well, maybe microbiology will prove that there was an intelligent designer, and if so, it had to be aliens.
Right.
Had to be aliens, but we would know that the aliens evolved by Darwinism.
Right. We would discover that.
And that's just so hysterical that the world's leading apostle for atheistic evolution says, well, maybe there is proof for intelligent design, but it would have to be by some evolved species on another planet.
An alien that evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hysterical, okay. Because if it can't happen here, why could it happen somewhere else?
Well, it's all in Dawkins' mind.
Yes.
See. It's the greatest hoax ever told.
Yeah, the greatest hoax. The
greatest hoax on Earth, I should say. That's the title of the book, right?
Yeah, the greatest show on Earth is Richard Dawkins' book, and the rebuttal is from Jonathan Sarfati, The Greatest Hoax on Earth. And so now, it's going to be good.
You know, if you look back through history, there have been times when the most advanced cultures believe some of the most ridiculous, outrageous fairy tales. I mean, it's nothing new throughout history. You had the Greeks and their pantheon of gods.
Yeah,
And all of that.
And you had the Germans and their belief that human beings are like animals, and if human beings are handicapped, it's better off putting them to death.
Right.
And you had Darwin and his racism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got all that.
So we're in the midst of the greatest hoax on Earth.
Oh, and Doug, on Friday, we have someone coming in to do the show. He's a pastor from the state of Washington, Kevin Lee, and his background is in nuclear physics.
A pastor with a background in nuclear physics? He sounds like your kind of guy.
I just love Kevin Lee. And we're going to talk about comets and the evidence in comets for the truth of the Bible.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome.
I'm loving
for
that.
For young Earth, the young age of the Earth, the solar system, the global flood, what are comets made of? It's just going to blow people away.
And that's Kevin Lee. He'll be on this Friday.
This Friday, Lord willing. Life. Yep.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
So that'll all be good.
So we'll have Kevin Lee. We'll follow that up with Mr. Sarfati.
Yep.
I mean, a pretty awesome couple of weeks coming up here.
All right. And a moment or so, let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. But do we have a news story?
Barack Obama's been listening to the broadcast.
Barack Obama?
I think. I don't have any direct evidence.
So that would be two liberals that have been listening to the show lately. The guy who wrote for the Huffington Post about you getting personhood signatures and me getting signatures.
Yes. Don't recall his name, but yes, he was a liberal listening.
He's a liberal.
And Barack Obama has apparently, in an interview with John Walsh, you remember John Walsh from America's Most Wanted?
Oh, yeah.
He interviewed, he didn't interview Barack Obama.
Yeah.
No, he did. He did. He interviewed
John Walsh interviewed Barack Obama.
Yeah. It's Monday. I can't read.
That's all right.
Anyway,
that's right.
Obama extols the virtues of a mandatory DNA testing of all Americans upon their arrest.
Whoa!
That's what Barack Obama
said. This is a big step in the right direction.
Obama said that there should be mandatory DNA collection when you're arrested, whether or not there are charges or a conviction.
He's right, and when you're born.
Did you say Barack Obama was right?
Yeah, he's right. This is a major step in the right direction toward a universal DNA database of all human beings.
That's right. We
especially originally in America.
Right, and we support one step further even, not just when you're arrested.
No.
But when you're born.
When you're born, when you come into the country. As a major opportunity to preemptively reduce, for example, sexual assaults.
Right. So if everyone knows that their DNA is on file with the governing officials, with the justice system, they would be deterred from committing crimes where they might leave DNA behind.
Right. And we could become way more rigorous when there's a minor crime. You go in. You look for forensic evidence. It's not the end all and be all. They're not going to catch every criminal. But people will grow up being fearful of committing a crime, thinking I might drop a hair, I might touch something, an oil from my finger, or who knows, and especially sexual assaults.
Right, right.
And we might be able to take a major bite out of crime, but of course it would discourage the ACLU.
Oh, the ACLU, by the way, is against all this. I know you're probably
They're the pro rapists.
The pro rapists.
Pro murderers.
Yes, the pro child pornographers.
Yeah.
They're against.
They're officially pro child pornography. They are. Yes. Their policy is they support the distribution of child pornography. They say it should be legal to distribute child pornography.
Right. They're advocates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're against collecting DNA. And they have a number of reasons that are very legalistic and a bit hard to digest. I won't go into them in the article because it's just too much.
Well, didn't the ACLU support some protesters' right to burn down the ACLU headquarters?
I believe. I think that was in The Onion.
Well, I guess that wasn't actually a true story.
But least not yet.
They're just so evil. ACLU.
Yeah. So anyway, Obama's been listening, and you heard it here first, folks. Barack Obama was right. March 15th, 2010.
He was right on something.
Barack Obama was right.
Now, there are right-wingers who think there's a right to anonymity.
Right.
I don't know where they get that from.
Well,
right to anonymity.
Isn't that in the Constitution somewhere, that you have a right to be secure in your person and your papers and your
anonymity.
Domicile?
And your anonymity.
I don't think it mentions anonymity now that you mention it.
So, but it makes sense that you would know who's in your country. Also, if somebody wanted to walk around with a mask on their face, I wouldn't take too kindly to that myself.
No, I wouldn't think that would be good.
No, in fact, not far from this studio, there were two women walking around in burkas with just their eye slits for their eyes showing.
Get out of here.
In Arvada, in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And that's creepy.
Yeah, no kidding.
For one, you don't know if it's two women in burkas or two homosexual Muslims.
Or two guys with a bomb strapped.
Two cross-dressing Islamic terrorists.
It's more likely that they're mad bombers than cross-dressers, I think,
Well, what would be the difference? Well, a jihadist in a burqa is a cross-dressing Muslim.
You're right. And the bomb would just be added. More problems, for crying out loud. Anyway.
That's right.
You can't be.
All right. So anyway, but it's
were they doing this for make a political statement?
Let me tell you, where they covered the woman's face, that's sick.
Yeah.
It's robbing someone of their identity as a human being.
Yeah.
That is sick. So the Taliban, they cover a woman from head to toe.
Uh-huh.
In Hollywood, will strip her naked and put TV cameras around and put it on the internet.
Well, let me.
So
just,
right in the middle is the Bible-based Christian.
How do we find? I mean, I was at a church this weekend where one of the singers up on stage. I wouldn't have let her into my church dressed that way, and they had her up on stage singing. And anyway, who's going to determine where is
Christian modesty? You know, a lot of the Christian music labels are owned by secular companies.
Yeah.
And distributed by secular distributors. Mm-hmm. And so a woman who sings praise music today pretty much has to be sexy. If she's not sexy, she's probably not going to get a contract.
Yeah, right.
Even the major book publishers. Mm-hmm. Are owned, so many of them, by secular companies.
Well, how do we find the middle ground between the burqa and the bikini? Who's going to make
the Bible?
Who's going to make? It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
It is.
Yeah, okay. In the Bible, and it's modesty.
Well, I'll tell you.
So, you know, Satan tempted Adam and Eve to sin. God clothed Adam and Eve because of that, and since. Then Satan has been trying to unclothe Adam and Eve in public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Bob, I was at another church.
All right. And then we'll go to the phones. 800-836-9278.
There was like six women who were all wearing like moo-moo dresses with the full sleeves.
Yeah.
And them girls could sing. I tell you what.
They were
rocking the house. It was incredible. And I wasn't distracted. I was able to focus on the beauty
of
their voice.
Anyway. Right, right.
Anyway, I miss Denver Bible Church. Let's go to the phones.
All right. And
we have
in Denver, Joe Scott, one of the pro-life leaders in the state of Colorado and nationally.
A hero.
Joe, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. I'm calling in with an update, a sad sort of update.
Sad update. Uh-oh. What happened?
One of our oldest picketers died. Her name was Mary Henning.
Mary. Mary Henning. I know Mary, of course.
Yeah.
I've met Mary. Faithful at the abortion clinic. Doug, you know Mary Henning. So Mary's passed away. How old was Mary?
Mary would be 99 on March 17th.
Wow. And if you add the 9 months of gestation...
She was 99.
She's 99.
99. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good run. And she knew
pretty
the Lord.
Pretty good run. She knew the Lord.
Knows the Lord.
Even. She knows the Lord. She's now with the Lord.
Knows him better now. Yeah.
She knew the Lord, knows the Lord, is with the Lord.
Wow.
And here we are in a radio studio.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Mary's got the good end of the deal.
She's got it made.
She sure does.
So, Joe, is there a memorial service?
Yes, there is. It's Friday at 4, and it's at Redeemer Temple at 3701 West 64th Avenue in Arvada.
All right, Redeemer Temple.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and... Joe, could you tell us maybe one thing about Mary so the audience, people who don't know her, will know something about her?
Well, Mary was amazing. I mean, to be out at the abortion clinic in her late 90s holding a sign that says, "Stop, we can talk."
Wow.
And she stood up for as many years as she could. Then she sat in a chair and held that sign. But Mary actually was going to have an abortion.
Oh, this I did not know.
When she was in her 40s. She went to a doctor and asked the doctor for an abortion, and the doctor said, "Absolutely not. You will not have an abortion. I will not abort you." And she had that baby.
Oh.
And so years later...
So that baby today is 50 years old.
Well, I don't know if that baby would like us saying how old she is on the air.
Okay. All right. All right.
But
we could do the math, but anyway, yeah. We won't say.
We won't name her.
Yeah. So years later, Mary's daughter, who she kept and didn't abort, came to know the Lord and then led Mary to the Lord.
Wow.
And that's why Mary is so against abortion. If she didn't have her youngest daughter, she wouldn't probably not.
Wow.
Have been led to the Lord.
Yeah,
and that same daughter led Pastor Tim's wife from Redeemer Temple. She led his wife to the Lord.
Wow.
Praise God.
What a beautiful story.
Yes.
And when there's life, there's hope. And now Mary is with the Lord in heaven. So, okay, Friday, memorial service. Now, we turn in signatures at the Secretary of State's office on Thursday at 3.
Yeah. Right.
So a lot of us will be able to go to Mary's memorial service.
That's at Redeemer Temple on, where was it again, Joe? What time?
It's 3701 West 64th Avenue.
On 64th in Arvada. What time?
At 4 o'clock. And it's a potluck, so if you want to bring anything. The main dishes will be there, but...
Medical marijuana at a memorial service?
Not medical marijuana.
No.
Oh, this is in West Denver.
It's not that kind of potluck.
Okay.
Crying out loud. All right. I hope.
All right, Joe.
I'm sure Mary's getting a chuckle out of that because she is in heaven.
Joe, thank you so very much for letting us know. Hey, how are you doing with the signatures? The Secretary of State threw out 20,000 signatures.
A dastardly deed,
was
if ever 20, there was.
Was it
20,000 they 15,565.
They threw out. Okay, so I exaggerated.
That's okay.
They threw out 16,000 signatures, and we are attempting in 15 days to produce 20,000 signatures.
That's where you got the 20,000.
20,000.
We need 20 to replace the 15.
And we're working hard.
Amen.
Very, very hard. My team is working hard and doing wonderfully. So.
All right, everybody's team has to come up with about 2,000 signatures.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, let me put you on the spot. Where's your team at? Right now.
Well, I have 365.
Oh!
And I have
365. One signature for every day of the year.
There are other team leaders with more.
Wow.
But my team has reported to me, about 30% of my team has reported back. We're at 1,085 confirmed signatures, but about
1,085, so about half
confirmed,
with a third reporting.
With
in.
Only a third reporting. And so I think we're well on pace. And we've got the Republican caucuses coming up tomorrow. I got in touch with my Republican precinct captain, which is a good idea.
Well, that's sort of a funny story. I don't know if you want to tell it on the air, but let's wait until... Hey, Joe, anything else? Joe, how's your team doing?
My team's doing fantastic. I've only got about 20% of the reports in, but they're at about 570-something.
570 with 20% in, so that's pretty good.
And we've got people out there, Joe, on the streets. They're not good at reporting, but they're good at getting signatures.
That's right.
What I've been getting from my team is a lot of positive comments. I'm out there. I'm getting signatures.
Hey, Joe, there's a guy in Golden named Joseph. I won't give his last name. He's in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
He called up. He said, Bob, I need a blank petition. I want to be on a team. I want to help. So this morning I went to his apartment, handed him a blank petition. He's so excited. He's going to be in his wheelchair going to all the apartment complexes near him for 2 days, and he's going to get signatures.
Joseph is an amazing guy.
What an amazing
Praise
guy.
The Lord.
We need more Josephs in the world.
Yeah. More Josephs.
And we need more Marys, and we need more Joe Scotts. Joe, you're such a blessing.
So
Thanks
we need someone to replace Mary at Planned Parenthood because Mary now is in heaven.
Yep.
So we need some faithful saint to come out. You could start by coming out on Saturday at Planned Parenthood in Denver.
Yeah.
7:30.
7:30 in the morning. And see what it's like. I think you'll be blessed.
They will definitely be blessed. Okay, Bob, thanks for giving me the opportunity to let people know about Mary.
Sure thing. God bless you, Joe Scott. Appreciate that.
That memorial for Mary will be at 4 o'clock at Redeemer Temple on 64th in Arvada.
That's right.
Friday at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so what a story. And that her daughter, she was going to kill her daughter. She didn't. Her daughter leads her to the Lord and her pastor's wife to the Lord.
Wow. You know, and I have these arguments, not arguments, but debates with people on the personhood issue. They say, well, who cares if they kill the babies? All those babies go to heaven.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? That's
people who say that, they love the baby and they hate the parents.
Yeah, they hate the parents.
They must hate the parents. And they accuse us of caring only about the babies,
right?
Which is not true. We care about the parents and the baby. They don't care about the parents because if you're a parent and you're about to kill your child.
Yeah.
Then if you don't care about that person, you say, I don't care if you kill your child. But if you love that person, you will say, do you know that child is made in God's image and God's likeness? God told you to love your child, not kill your child.
Right.
And if they go ahead and kill their child, their heart becomes even harder against God. And here's the case where these people have come to the Lord thanks to this girl whose life was spared.
That's right. She did not deprive the world of the benefit of her daughter's life.
Right. So if you hate the parents, you say, I don't care if they abort their kids. That's what you say if you hate the parents.
Yeah.
Jesus said, love your neighbor. Not be apathetic towards your neighbor, thinking you're more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Doug, you told me something about the Republican precinct.
We've all got to go to our Republican caucuses. I've never been before.
Why do we got to go? I went 2 years ago.
Bob, I'm going to be at a middle school tomorrow night. There's going to be 10 different precincts. There's like 350 people in each one of our little precincts.
Me too.
Registered voters.
I'm going to do the same.
If 10% of the people show up for the caucus, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of Republicans.
There will be, if you have 10 precincts meeting at one public school.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be some few hundred people there. Registered Republicans if you go to a Republican caucus.
Right.
And many of them will want to sign a pro-life petition.
Right.
Because that's why they're involved.
Many
of them.
Yeah, and you can even make a motion to for everybody to vote on a personhood plank in the Republican
That's
platform.
Right. In fact, if you go to Colorado Right to Life's homepage, right at the top, there's a resolution, and you could just click and print it out.
I have to print that out.
And you bring it in, and it's, in fact, why don't I read it? Because people, this is so cool to do.
While you bring that up, let me just tell people about my Republican caucus, my precinct co-captain.
Co-captain.
Has apparently fled the state of Colorado and has renounced her social security number.
What?
And decided that she's no longer going to make house payments.
Now, this isn't an omen of the state of the Republican
and
Party,
She's convinced that the bank can't take her house away because they sold her mortgage and she no longer exists as a corporate
Because she
human
renounced
entity.
Her social... So she's gone off the deep end.
She's gone off the deep end, yeah.
You know, people who believe this stuff, that if you don't use all capital letters or if you do use all capital letters when you sign your name or you don't use your middle initial or you don't get a driver's license or you don't get a social security number, then you can't be taxed or whatever.
Or even be responsible for a loan that
for
you
your mortgage.
Took out.
She took a mortgage. She thinks now she doesn't have to repay it because she renounced her social security. I mean, that's
like
that. Just.
She dropped out of the game.
That's thievery. That's thievery. But anyway, you could believe all that and be miserable for your whole life.
Yeah.
I know people, because I've been on the air for 20 years, literally from Honolulu to the East Coast, who have bought into this, and they stop paying their taxes, and they stop going to bed at night with their wives, because their wives leave them, and they stop parking their car in their nice garage, because they lose their house.
Right.
And some of them stop actually walking downtown, because they end up incarcerated.
Right.
So
even though they followed all the rules of dropping out of the
dropping
socio-political
out by just
system.
Using all capital letters when you sign your name or whatever. So it's sad. It's weird.
It is.
But anyway, that happened.
Anyway, so my precinct is now only has one captain.
It's headless.
No, there's still she was a co-captain.
All right,
thankfully.
So it's got half a
so
head.
The precinct is still. I don't know. I don't even know what a precinct is. I'm interested to go down and find out what the deal is. It should be fun.
Yeah.
And now if I wanted to offer a resolution about personhood.
Yeah, so the main thing is to go bring a petition and get signatures.
Oh, get hundreds.
Before,
possibly hundreds.
Maybe pass it around during, after, get signatures.
Yeah.
In your own precinct, then go out in the lobby, in the parking lot, and it should be an easy place to get signatures.
Should be pretty good pickings.
But here's the resolution. You just print this out. Be it resolved that, and you say to during your caucus, at one point, they'll say, does anyone have a resolution? And you say, I do, personhood resolution, and you hand them the printout.
Right.
And you could read it, or the precinct captain will read it. Be it resolved that the whatever, say Jefferson County Republican Party, supports the passage of an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to apply the term person to every human being from the beginning of their biological development. That's it.
So let it be
a personhood petition.
So let it be done. Now, then they vote on it, or they do, they submit it.
They vote on it, and it most likely will pass.
Yeah.
2 years ago, these passed all over the state, and then it goes to the county. And when yours passes at the precinct level, it's not a bad idea the next morning to call your Republican county
make sure
party
that they
and say, we passed this. I want to make sure it's brought up at the county
assembly. Now, at what point does it end up on Dick Wadham's desk?
After it gets through the counties, and then Dick Wadham's will try to squash it for the state assembly. But we've got people who are involved. We've got resolution committee chairmen and all who are attempting to shepherd this through all the way to the state.
And I might become an active Republican just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be fun just to make sure personhood ends up on Dick Wadham's desk. I'd like to
sit
across
this is
his
a great year to get personhood on the ballot because the Democrats, they're apoplectic.
They're going to be asleep during
they're
this
falling
election.
Apart. It's an off-year election.
Yep, they're all going to be hungover.
There's a lot of anger against liberals and against Democrats, and that's good for babies.
That's right.
Because liberals and Democrats, they like to kill babies.
Yeah.
So anger against Democrats means the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
The Republicans are acting conservative. Yeah.
By accident, but the baby is my friend because the Democrats want to kill him. So there must be something good about a baby.
That's right.
All right, Doug McBurney.
That's it.
Colorado Right to Life. All the info is at the top of their homepage, coloradorighttolife.org. Thanks, Doug. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada with a great school, kgov.com.